Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We are going in the huddle this hour, brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Well, in Charlotte, a lot of questions are being asked. What is next for the franchise now that they have benched the number one overall draft pick in Bryce Young? So Andy Dalton will now start for the team in their game on Sunday against the Raiders. But Bryce Young, yeah, now benched.
There's no doubt in my mind, Tiff, this came from the owner. Those are my words, not yours, obviously, but there's no doubt that this came from the owner, which is funny because it was his guy, and he's the one that kind of forced the draft and helped move that. I also think if you go back and watch, I was watching some breakdown of some of Bryce Young's gameplay from Sunday. Mike, I think he's seeing ghosts out there.
He's a shell of what you thought he would be capable of when he got to the NFL. I'm with you. I think this was a call from the owner, but I think this was probably highly pressured by Dave Canales, because I think that Dave Canales understands that there's only really two reasons that you make a move like this. Number one, you think you're going to lose your job. Number two, you think you're going to lose the locker room, and both of those can be detrimental to a franchise. So if he thought he was going to lose the locker room, you saw Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson, guys like that are so upset with what's going on with that offense. They looked absolutely lifeless in the first couple of games. So I think you look at that situation, you look at your offensive line and everybody else involved, and you have to keep the effort up going in the right direction, and you make that move because you're afraid those guys are going to start jumping off the ship.
And also, you can't put all of this on Bryce, right? Like a lot of people have been trying to do. Look at the offensive line. Look at, you can say, the development stuff, how this was kind of a not handled well from the start.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think the offensive line's played that bad in what I've seen. They sank a ton of money into that group throughout this offseason. So I'm with you.
Cumulatively carrying over from last season, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm with you. It's not completely on Bryce Young, but it is a glaring, definitely misstep for them.
I'm not going to go offensive line stuff. I think Tifo is right and something that needs to be pointed out. The owner is the one to blame. And I know that y'all think I don't like him, and maybe I don't like some of the words he said. But,
those weren't my words, but, just to clarify.
But when you hire a coach and then take play calling away as the owner from the coach with a rookie quarterback, then give it back, then fire the coach midseason, then hire another guy, all of which in a quarterback who's played 19 games in his career, you're destroying that player's progression as a quarterback. And it's a quarterback, a young quarterback needs a foundation around him to build around him and to instill confidence and hear one voice, not 20 different voices constantly. It's been mismanaged from the top with him.
He needs to go back and figure out something that he's really good at. That's what Bryce Young needs to do. He needs to, is it accuracy? Is it getting the ball out? Is it reading defenses? Is it elusiveness? What is it that you're great at? He needs to hang his hat on that moving forward in his career.
And my question to you, Mike, would be, when as a member of a locker room, do you guys decide, okay, you mentioned the comments from Adam Thielen. Like, when is everybody out on who the quarterback is? Because I was there last season. I had the Panthers game against the Bucks, and we talked with Thielen in our meeting. We also talked with Bryce Young. And everything, even though it was bad then, everything still seemed to have the optimistic tone of, hey, Thielen's a guy I can lean on. He's a guy that I can talk to. And so, yeah, I'm just wondering when that.
Yeah, and Tiff, I think doubt is kind of like a virus in those situations, right? It might just kind of creep in. It might be one guy, and then all of a sudden it might be spread to two, and then all of a sudden you notice the drills that you're doing, other things going on at practice might not have the tempo that they once did, because the guys start thinking to themselves, why am I working this hard? Why am I, as a receiver, why am I running my routes 1,000 miles an hour when I know the ball's not going to get here? I don't think they're all completely just off the ship, but I think that Dave Canales could very easily look back at this game and see it turning that direction and understand that something needed to be done now.
Well, on to the Falcons' opponent this week. That would be the Chiefs. So running back Isaiah Pacheco suffered a fractured fibula in their win over the Bengals. He will undergo surgery this week.
That's unfortunate, to say the least. But, you know, that's a team that seems to be able to overcome things like that. I know Kareem Hunt was, in for a workout with them as well. But Isaac Pacheco is just – he's electric when the ball's in his hands.
I don't say favorites, but he's a guy that I love watching run because he's got some quickness and some burst, and he runs physical. And it's fun to see a little, smaller stature guy like that.
He's like violently quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the only way I can kind of put it.
Yeah. I hate we don't get to see him, but I don't hate that we don't have to see him.
Right. Yeah.
He'll miss about 6 to 8 weeks with that injury. And the injury news just keeps piling up. Deebo Samuel, the 49ers. They will be without their wide receiver, for the next couple of weeks. So he has a strained calf that he sustained in their loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And so, yeah, from Kyle Shanahan, their coach, he'll miss a couple of weeks. So they are now already without their running back, Christian McCaffrey, for the next at least three games. So two key weapons to that San Francisco offense.
And take it a step further, Ricky Pearsall is still going to miss at least two more games with what happened to him. Hey, Brandon Ayuk.
I was literally on the doorstep of saying exactly what you're about to say.
You ready to earn that money?
yeah, he made all that fuss.
Yeah.
It's go time, baby.
George,
it's your show.
George Kittle, it will probably get a bigger role. I'll say this real quick. Think about this now. You know, if San Francisco loses a couple of games here, Tiff, ain't a bad thing for the Falcons because this division looks better as a whole, other than the debacle up 85. Yeah. But it looks better as a whole. So I don't mind seeing San Francisco lose some games. You know, because that just helps us along. I don't mind seeing the Rams and their 0-2 start. Don't hurt my feelings.
And Deebo does so many different things for that team. It's not just losing a wide receiver or a running back. You're losing an offensive weapon and really a guy who is, you know, he's the straw that serves the drink over there.
Well, speaking of the Rams, they're already without wide receiver Puka Nacua, who was injured after spraining his PCL in week one. Now they're going to be missing their other receiver in superstar Cooper Kupp. So he'll miss an extended period of time with a left ankle sprain, that according to Coach Sean McVay.
That guy he can't buy a break. And really, he's one of the greatest in the game right now. But you can't put those numbers up if you're not able to stay on the field. And it's just unfortunate, man. It seems like he's just a guy that has had bad luck in this area. But you add that on to the Puka Nacua thing, and you look at the fact that they've had a rough start to the season. And there is no quick way to climb out of that hole because they have had some decisive games the last couple of weeks.
It's been tough. And other news for the NFL, the Dolphins will now be signing Huntley. So this is now Tua Tagovailoa, is on injured reserve. So that was after we saw the really nasty hit that he sustained in their last game when he kind of went up against DeMar Hamlin. His neck kind of, it just did not look good. And so the injuries, head injuries, concussions have piled up for him. So he is now on injured reserve. And Tyler Huntley, who was with the Baltimore Ravens practice squad, will now be signed by the Dolphins.
My favorite part is the tweet that was sent out is the Dolphins are signing former Pro Bowl quarterback.
Dude, I was going to say, that was like one of the weakest Pro Bowl decisions ever.
It's a big game for them in Miami because they have to go all the way to Seattle this week and play a 2-0 surprise. I don't want to say surprising necessarily, but I think it's a little bit surprising 2-0 Seattle. I don't think you expect them to be atop of the NFC West after two games.
No. Mm-hmm. And it's Tango Metcalf. Bailoa. Excuse me, I had to crack.
DK Metcalf is an absolute Jesse with what he's able to do. That's one of the good things about Falcons being on Monday Night Football. He's got a chance to watch all the Sunday games and watch them in depth, man, which I feel like I'm more prepared for NFL than I've been in a long time watching that game on Sunday.
I enjoyed it. It was Wes said it. I don't know if it was during the broadcast or when it was when we were talking, but it was like, or maybe it was Arch that said it. One of them was like, man, you get to watch the craziness that is the NFL Sundays because you don't realize how – I mean, we're all working every Sunday, so we miss, like – all the craziness. We only see the craziness that happens in our game.
It's wild.
And it didn't end, you know, obviously at all last night.
When we come back here, we've got a mic'd up. What you got?
We're going to relive the great night that was. Instead of a Top 5 Tuesday, I've got just 5 sound bites that y'all won't want to miss from the broadcast last night with Wes and Dave, plus some bonus as well. So you don't want to miss that coming up on the other side. We'll relive that victory, talk about the great parts that were the Falcons getting it done up in Philadelphia. That's mic'd up coming up on the other side at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.